Hey there, and welcome back to the Crimson Playhouse podcast, a cozy corner of the audio universe where the stories are tender, the tension runs high, and the romance hits different. I'm your host, Crimson Renee, and today we're stepping in to chapter 8 of The Velvet Muse. Last time in chapter 7, we saw Liza's world pulled tighter as the emotional stakes rose. Maxwell couldn't be hinting at what he wants any harder. And let's be honest, the man knows how to make an impression. Meanwhile, Mason finally stopped dancing around their history. That dinner, that kiss, that moment where everything old felt dangerously new again? Yeah, the chemistry hasn't gone anywhere, but neither has the confusion. As always, the past never travels alone, and the things left unsaid still linger in the air. Now in chapter 8, Liza's trying to focus on work, but her heart, it's somewhere else entirely. If you've ever been caught between your past and your maybe, yeah, you're going to feel this one. Before we dive in, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and if you want even more, like bonus scenes and early access, join me over on Patreon. That's where the extra magic lives. That's at patreon.com/crimsonplayhouse. All right, dim the lights, take a breath, and meet me back inside the Velvet Muse. This is chapter 8. Chapter 8. My back was starting to act up, but I rubbed the knots that I could reach as I hunched over my laptop. I had spent most of the morning in the back office trying to finalize the club's updated menu design. I hadn't slept much, and my brain felt foggy, like I was walking through water. Mason still buzzed in my head, keeping me spinning in circles, unsure whether to be angry or hurt, or both. Before I could overanalyze it again, Marcy burst into the room, her energy like a jolt of caffeine. She practically threw her bag into the chair next to me, beaming as though she'd just won the lottery. "Liza, oh my God," she said breathlessly. "I was on the phone with Andre last night for hours. I don't think I've talked to anyone that long since high school." I looked up, my lips curving into a small smile despite my mood. "Oh, really? What did you two talk about?" "Everything," she said, plopping down into the chair. "Music, childhood memories, the fact that he's an undercover Star Wars nerd. Clearly, he's a keeper." She giggled like a teenager and then let out a dramatic sigh. "Liza, I really like him. Like, it's scary how much I like him. But I don't want to sleep with him too soon and ruin it. But also, I really want to sleep with him." I laughed, shaking my head. "Marcy, if he's the right guy, the timing is not going to matter. Just do what feels right for you." She groaned, leaning back against the desk. "Why is dating so complicated?" Before I could answer, her gaze shifted and she zeroed in on me. Her excitement faded slightly, replaced by concern. "Hey, what's going on with you? You look like you didn't sleep." I hesitated before closing my laptop. There was no point in hiding it. "Mason kissed me last night." Her eyes widened and she sat up straighter. "Damn. So you kissed him back, right?" I nodded, still trying to make sense of it. "It just happened." Marcy studied me like she was trying to solve a puzzle.
"And how do you feel about it?"
"Confused," I admitted. "And then there is Maxwell." Marcy raised an eyebrow, her expression knowing.
Ah, yes, the fun, charming distraction versus the brooding ex. You're in deep. I groaned, burying my face in my hands. Maxwell is easy and light, and Mason, he's complicated. She finished for me, nodding. Yeah, I see the problem. But you don't have to figure it out right now. Just take your time. Figure out what you want. What I want. Mason had kissed me like no time had passed between us, whispered that he'd missed it, then taken my keys, opened my front door, and left me standing there. It was like he wanted me spinning, unsure of his intentions. Now, here I was, reeling from that one kiss while he pretended like nothing had happened. The day passed with Mason working closely alongside his crew, keeping things running smoothly but avoiding any direct interaction with me. Every time I glanced in his direction, though, I caught him looking at me. His gaze wasn't angry or guarded. It was something else, like he was studying me, waiting for a reaction I didn't know how to give. The flutter in my chest was impossible to ignore, but I did my best to push it aside. Then, in the afternoon, Maxwell strolled in with his usual energy, carrying a tray of coffees. "I thought the boss lady and the crew could use a pick-me-up," he said, setting the cups on the bar with a grin. He handed me one, and I noticed Mason watching us from across the room, his jaw tight, the tension rolling off him in waves. Maxwell leaned in slightly and whispered, "Your ex doesn't seem to like me much." I tried to downplay it, laughing softly. "You're overthinking it." But we both knew he wasn't. That evening, after the crew had left, Maxwell lingered, leaning against the bar as I browsed future options online. He tapped his fingers on the counter and then tilted his head.
"So, are you going to tell me what's really going on with him?"
he asked, his tone light but curious.
"Because I'm starting to feel like public enemy number one."
I sighed, not sure where to start. "It's complicated." He nodded, but his gaze didn't waver.
"All right. But let me ask you something. Would I be wasting my time if I asked you out again?"
The question hit me hard. I opened my mouth, but the words didn't come. "I don't know what I want right now," I admitted. "The club is my focus, and honestly, I could really use a friend." His expression softened, though I caught a brief flicker of disappointment.
"Friends, huh?"
he said, leaning forward on his elbows.
"Well, can friends still have dinner?"
I hesitated, my mind flashing to Mason and the kiss that had kept me awake all night. But Maxwell's easy smile was like a lifeline, offering an escape from the chaos swirling around me. "I'll think about it," I said lightly. But his smile widened anyway.
"Another not no," he teased. "We're making progress."
Then, as if on impulse, he added,
"What if we just ordered in pizza? No pressure."
I blinked, caught off guard by the offer. "Order in?"
"Yeah. Something easy. You've had a long day."
His eyes sparkled, but his tone was gentle.
"My treat, no strings."
I debated for a moment before nodding. "All right, pizza sounds good." His grin was contagious.
"Perfect. Lead the way."
Upstairs in my apartment, the smell of garlic and melted cheese filled the room as Maxwell set the pizza box on the coffee table. I handed him a plate, and we both settled onto the couch, the weight of the day slowly lifting. I grabbed a slice from the pineapple-covered side, and Maxwell immediately grimaced in mock horror.
"Wow, you're really doing it. You're really eating the pineapple."
I grinned, taking a bite. "Sweet and savory is the perfect combo." He shook his head, grabbing a slice from the plain side.
"Good thing we're just friends. I couldn't date someone who willingly eats that."
I pointed my slice at him, laughing. Says the man missing out on greatness.
The banter eased the tension I hadn't realized I'd been carrying. For a while, we shared stories, me about the chaos of LA and him about his wildest tour memories. I found myself laughing harder than I had in weeks, feeling lighter in his presence. After he left, though, the quiet was suffocating. I replayed Mason's kiss, Maxwell's warmth, and Marcy's advice over and over, trying to make sense of what I wanted. The longer I lay in bed, the more restless I became. Then my phone buzzed, heart thumping as I saw Mason's name on the screen. My breath hitched as I read the message. Mason, you don't have to lie if you're dating him. Patronizing's not my thing. I read it twice, my stomach tightening with frustration. Of course that's what he'd say. Not, hey, how are you doing? Or, about last night. No, Mason had to go straight to jumping to conclusions and making me feel cornered. He had no right. Not after everything. I tossed my phone onto the couch and paced the room, my pulse racing. I tried to focus on the club and all the work that needed to get done, but it was impossible. The words on the screen blurred, and my thoughts spiraled back to him, to his assumptions, to that damn text. I went to bed still seething, plotting all the sharp comebacks I'd deliver the next time I saw him. One way or another, Mason Harris was gonna get a piece of my mind. And this time, I wasn't holding back.
And that was chapter 8 of The Velvet Muse. Pineapple pizza, soft laughter, and a moment of peace with Maxwell. Interrupted by one message that reminded Liza exactly why her heart still guarded. Because Mason doesn't just take up space. He shakes the air when he walks into a room. Or your inbox. Thank you so much for listening. For showing up, for sitting in the tension with these characters, because if there's one thing we know around here, love doesn't always wait until you're ready. If you're enjoying the ride, go ahead and like, subscribe, or leave a review. It helps this little podcast reach more listeners who need a story like this in their life. And if you're ready for more, come join the family over on Patreon. We got bonus chapters, early access, and all the extra flavor I couldn't fit in this feed. It's all waiting for you over there. That's at patreon.com/crimsonplayhouse. I'm Crimson Renee, and this has been the Crimson Playhouse podcast. See you next week.